Today's message is based around the significance of being a Christian. I'm looking at something of late, and I've been really challenged by the Lord to continually challenge our folk that we are not like anybody else. We are different. We are a peculiar people. We are God's chosen people. Because of that, we have certain things about us that makes us different. And one of the significance of being a Christian is that we belong to the Lord. We are His, bought by a price. We are not our own. I think in today's world, and I see it far too often than I would like to see it among my own brethren, is that we pick and choose when we want to be Christians. We pick and choose what we want to believe for that particular time or how we want to live our lives. And that's not my understanding of God's word. We belong to God, we are His, and we are His from the time we open our eyes to wake in the morning to the time we close our eyes to lay our heads at rest at night. We are His, we belong to Him. And that is a significant point of being a Christian, is that we belong to God. If we've got our Bibles, let's have a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I'm going to read verses 19 to 20. They are well-known verses among born-again believers. I'll read this verse, we'll pray, and then we'll have a look at some things in regards to us Christians belonging to the Lord. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Let us pray. Father God, we do thank you for this occasion to meet where two or three are gathered in your name, so are you in the midst of them. And we thank you. We acknowledge your presence with us. We do thank you for what you have done through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die upon that cross to pay the penalty for our sins. And that faith factor that we have to believe that. We have to acknowledge that it's sin that's keeping us away from a holy and righteous God. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you've done that for us. Be with our folk this afternoon. Be with all those within the city of Perth who truly believe in you and call you our Lord and Saviour. Help us to understand the significance of who we are and what we are to this world. So we thank you for that. Add your blessing to this message this afternoon, Father God, and converse with our spirit through the Holy Spirit to let us know the things we need to know about you and to be encouraged in our faith, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. It was Kay Arthur in one of her many books that she read, and she's a lady of about 80 years old. She's a Christian author. And one of the things that Kay Arthur said is, the new covenant is our guarantee of belonging, of never being forsaken, of never being alone. And I truly believe that we, as born-again believers, are never alone at any time. No matter how difficult our life seems, no matter what trials and tribulations we have in our lives, we are never alone because God is with us. And God will always send someone to encourage us, to be there with us. We begin this lesson by noting Paul's comments to the Corinthians, as recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, in which he challenged their thinking by asking, "Do you not know? Do you not know that you are not your own? You are not your own." We Christians need to understand that he or she, depending on whom we are, have been bought at a price and consequently is a person belonging to the Lord. We belong to him. We are his. Belonging to the Lord has many connotations attached to it. One is that a Christian is God's special person. Yes, God's special person. Christians are now God's own special people. Let's have a look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10 says this: "But ye are a chosen generation, being chosen by God, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people." And I think sometimes many Christians focus upon that peculiar person or peculiar people rather than what else is written here. "That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." In that particular verse, beloved, we can see that we are a chosen generation, chosen by God. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are his own special people. Special people. And I'm constantly confounded why so many people that love God will allow the enemy to get into their minds and change their thinking with all sorts of things. Like, we may be unworthy. Are we really Christians? Do we really love God? Have you really been saved? If we be truthful to ourselves, we could probably answer yes to some of those things that the enemy will try to put into our minds and distract us. But beloved, we are God's special people. We are his. We are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are his special people. And I say to my congregation, sometimes it seems like on a weekly basis, don't fall for the lies that Satan tries to put into your minds. Don't fall for it. If God tells us that we are a chosen generation, that we are a peculiar people, that we are a special people to him, that's what we must believe. These are terms that were once reserved for the physical nation of Israel. The Lord has chosen them, it says in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 15. He made them a kingdom of priests and a holy nation in Exodus chapter 19, verse 5. Thus they had become a special people above all other nations. God had chosen them as a special people. What had once been limited to physical Israel is now possible, beloved, to all people who are in Christ, as promised to Abraham. To all of us, as a part of that promise to Abraham. And we can read about that in Galatians chapter 3, verses 8 to 9. And Galatians chapter 3, verses 28 to 29. We are a special people with special responsibilities. Special responsibilities. To proclaim the praises of God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, which is what I read earlier. Because he called us out of darkness into his marvellous light. We have no right whatsoever to be living in darkness. None. God has brought us out of that darkness into his marvellous light. How dare we go back into that darkness and try and live there? We have no right. Because he had shown mercy and has made us the people of God to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1, 8 to 11 talks about that. To make our calling and our election as God's people. To have an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom. From the examples of physical Israel, but let us be aware of becoming hardened and not lose faith, or we may not enter into the heavenly rest that awaits us. And we can read about that in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 to 4, 2 and 11. The children of Israel became hardened in their heart, and they weren't given the rest that God had for them. And as we read the story in the Old Testament, they wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years. How long do some of our people have to wander around because they have not claimed that rest and that truth that God has for us? That wonderful and marvellous rest that God has for us. He has shown us mercy. We are His. A Christian is truly a special person because he belongs to the Lord. He can rejoice in knowing that he is one of God's beloved, as it's mentioned in Romans chapter 1, verse 7. God's love for the Christian is made even more evident when we note that he is also God's beloved child. We are God's beloved children. God loves us. And yet I think too many times some of us act as if God does not love us. Does God get disappointed with us because we've failed Him in some way? Like a parent He would be. But that never changes His love for us. Never. It never changes His love for us. As God's beloved children, Christians are blessed to be children of God. In one sense, all people are God's children, as it mentions in Acts chapter 17, verses 26 to 29. In another sense, many do not have God as their Father, it mentions in John 8, 42 to 44. They don't have Him as their Father. Yet Christians are the children of God in a very special way. A very special way. Because of their faith and having put on Christ in baptism. It's mentioned in Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. We as a beloved child of God have been redeemed and adopted by God. And we have received His Spirit into our hearts. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 to 6. Let's have a look at Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4 to 6. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. He is our Father. No one else is our Father. And yet there are many out there that call others Father. And they have no right to that. None whatsoever. God is our Father. The Spirit of God converses with our spirit in recognition of that. That we are His. We belong to Him. We are loved of Him. He is our Father. Because we do the Father's will, Jesus considers us His family. Matthew chapter 12, verses 48 to 50 talks about this. We are God's family. We are Jesus Christ's family. We belong to God. We are considered Jesus' family. According to Matthew chapter 12, verses 48 to 50. Christians should be touched by this expression of God's love. We should be touched by this. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 2. Let's have a look at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Beloved, we are God's. And we should be touched by God's love. As God's beloved children, We have blessings and responsibilities. Blessings and responsibilities. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Galatians chapter 4, verse 7, we've read that. Romans 8, 16 and 17. Come with me to Romans 8, 16 and 17. Just after the book of Acts. Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified with him. Beloved, we are joint heirs with the Son. My wife and I was watching something on the ABC the other night, and it was in regards to people contesting wills and people having wills. I was informed quite a few years ago, sort yourself out, get a will so that everything will be okay when you pass away. But according to that program that my wife and I saw on the television the other night, if you have a will, it can still be contested. And the contesting of wills tore families apart. A brother and sister were dearly loved, and their parents left them this will. And one wanted more than the other, and they fought over it. They fought over what was their parents, their right as heirs of that family. They fought over it. Beloved, we don't have to fight over anything that God has for you as an heir of his. Because we will all be treated the same. We are joint heirs with the Son. What God has for his Son, God has for us. His beloved children. Watching that show on TV the other night just made me wonder how, or made me see more clearer how greedy people can be. One mother left the same amount, the equal amount, to a son and a daughter. And the daughter wanted more because she felt that she deserved more. It won't be like that for us, beloved. It won't be like that. God has the same for us. The same. For we are heirs according to the promise of God. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 29. It is an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade, and is reserved for us in heaven. Reserved for us in heaven. 1 Peter 1:4. Let's have a look at 1 Peter 1:4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. For us. His beloved children. His chosen children. His peculiar children. Yes, sometimes we are peculiar. But that's the way God made us. But everything God has for us as his children, he will give to us. We have that responsibility. We must be thankful for that inheritance, as it mentions in Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. We need to abstain as God's beloved children from the works of the flesh. And the works of the flesh can be found in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. And it mentions a lot of things there. These are the things that we need to abstain from. I was talking to a brother this morning after the church service, and he said, "Pastor, you need to prepare us for when we have debates with people about same-sex marriage." I said, "Yes, we probably need to do that, and I probably need to prepare myself as well." And then he showed me something that over in America right now, I don't know how long it's been happening, but over in America right now, that they've got such a thing that they want to bring into law, is called wed lease. Wed lease. In other words, these same-sex couples are not going to get legally married, but they're going to have a lease on their relationship. The lease might be there, which they sign for 3 years, might be 5 years. And after that, if they want to be together, they'll have to sign another lease. Don't that sound ridiculous according to God's word? My goodness, I was astounded. I think my jaw dropped to the ground. And there's another thing there that they have, and it's talking about three people in a relationship. Three. And they want to have a lease around that. It's mind-boggling. But on the other hand, beloved, what we have as our inheritance is not incorruptible. It is not undefiled. Sorry. It is undefiled. It's not going to corrupt away. The things we have from God as heirs of his will remain with us, and it won't part. It does not fade, and it is reserved for us in heaven. As heirs, we have many responsibilities. Many responsibilities. And one of them is perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Come with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and it's chapter 6 and also to chapter 7, 7:1. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 17, and I'll read through down to 7:1. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Then down to 7 verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. The fear of God is healthy for us Christians. We must have it. Because he is a holy and righteous God. A holy and righteous God. As his beloved children, we have blessings, but we also have responsibilities to do those things that God wants us to do. If we wish to receive the promised blessings, we need to patiently carry out our responsibilities with an enduring faith. Hebrews chapter 10 verses 35-39 talks about suffering for Christ. And beloved, let's face it, overseas people are suffering violently. Violently being persecuted for their faith. Being beaten because they love Jesus. Lives being put into death because they love Jesus. And sometimes I think in countries like ours, we don't do too well with endurance and patience around our faith. But yet others are enduring even unto death as Christ has suffered for us. As his beloved children, we need to persevere in our sufferings and our trials and tribulations. Besides being God's special person, and God's child, a Christian who belongs to the Lord, also has a special relationship to the world in which he or she lives. God's heavenly pilgrim. Christians are in the world, but not of the world. As Jesus mentioned in his prayer for his disciples in John chapter 17, verses 15 and 16. Like Abraham, a Christian is a sojourner, a pilgrim. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13, chapter 13, verses 14, and 1 Peter 1, 1. We are fellow citizens with members of God's family. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19. As such, our true citizenship lies in heaven, not here on earth. And yet so many Christians are building their roots deep in the world where they live. They're building small empires. They're feathering their nests. They get so comfortable in the world, sometimes it's difficult to see whether they love God or whether they belong to God or not. And for myself, and some of you may share the same feelings, it breaks my heart to see someone who once truly loved the Lord now dabbling and mixing into the things of the world and compromising their faith. It breaks my heart because I know that that doesn't benefit them. And whatever they're working towards here is temporal. It's temporal. It's not going to last. It's not. Perseverance and endurance. Our citizenship, beloved, is in heaven. I remember some relatives of mine singing that song, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through." That's us. That's us peculiar people. God's chosen people. We're just passing through. Don't allow your roots to grow deep into this world. As God's pilgrims, we have several obligations to conduct our sojourn on this earth with fear. 1 Peter 1:17 speaks about the fear of God is reverential fear. To abstain from worldly lusts, 1 Peter 2:11, 1 John 2:15 to 17. Beloved, many of our Christian leaders right throughout Australia, right throughout the world, many of our Christian leaders are dabbling with things of the flesh. But such a thing now as internet pornography is destroying our Christian leaders. Destroying them. Because all they got to do is just press that little button and all that filth will come up. It's destroying. It's destroying Christian leaders. Because they think they can hide it from God. Stories of Christian leaders and even pastors running off with members of their congregation. That's not what God wants. That's not the way God wants us to be. We need to abstain from worldly lusts, to keep our conduct honourable, filled with good works, as it mentions in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. To obey the laws and respect the leaders of the countries in which we sojourn. 1 Peter 2, verses 13 to 17. Do we agree with all the policies and all the rules of our governments? No, we don't. We don't know where they get these ideas from about some of our laws, particularly the one that they're going to try and do in regards to same-sex marriage. They're going to try and change the way the Constitution sees marriage between a man and a woman. My goodness, what are they thinking? What are they thinking? But yet God wants us to obey the laws and respect our leaders. We are to pray for them. Pray for our governments. We are pilgrims, beloved. We are just passing through. This world is not our home. It's not. My home's in heaven. I remember this dear old gentleman that I met quite a few years ago. He was a missionary among the Aboriginal folk in South Australia. Him and his brothers, three brothers, grew up, I think, on the Hawkesbury River. That's in Sydney somewhere, on the Hawkesbury River, and they were boat makers. And they made wooden boats. I've never seen anyone make a wooden boat, but I've seen a wooden boat, and they look absolutely beautiful. But they made wooden boats, and they sailed on the Hawkesbury River. And this gentleman was challenged of the Lord to go out and to minister among my people, the Aboriginal people in South Australia. And they went on the fringes of the desert, but there's still a bit of coast there around Port Augusta, for some of you that have been to Port Augusta. And this man had worked there among Aboriginal people for over 50 years. He's still there around that area. Sydney's not his home anymore. And a couple of years back, around 2007, 8, around there somewhere, his dear beloved wife had passed away. She had got cancer, skin cancer, and God had decided to call her home. And this gentleman was extremely sad about that, but he was a man of great, great faith. Great faith. And I said, "Old man," but I spoke to him in Aboriginal language. I said, "All these people here, your children," and that's his children, the people that he'd grown up, not his biological children, but the children that God had given him trust to. I said, "They're waiting for you to cry. Your wife is gone, she's gone home to heaven. They want you to cry. Because it's a custom with Aboriginal people to mourn that way." And this dear old man looked me in the eye and he said, "Son," he said, "why would I cry when I know my wife's in heaven? And that this body is just a shell. And I'll lay that shell in the ground and I'll know my wife is up there in heaven with her father." Boy, that was one of those times when God really spoke, when God really speaks to you. And it's something that happens inside you. It's just so divine, as God speaking. He said, "That's what I mean. That's what I mean. This world is not your home. You're just a passing through." Did that man mourn his wife? Yes, he did. While she was alive. He spent months with her, if not years with her, while she suffered and she passed away. But he knew where she was. And now he's waiting for his time to join his wife in heaven with their God, with their Father in heaven. As God's pilgrims, beloved, we do have obligations. This world is not our home. We're just a passing through. We've seen that a Christian is a person who belongs to the Lord, one who is God's special person, God's child, God's pilgrim. The more we understand the significance of such privileges, we ought to be filled with gratitude and humility. We ought to be moved to be the kind of people God intended us to be. Are we living and conducting our lives as those who belong to the Lord? Are we acting like a special people? Do we live like a child of God? Is our life truly a sojourn? Or are we living like we want to make this earth our permanent home? As we saw in our main text of 1 Corinthians, beloved, may the significance of belonging to God prompt us to always glorify God in our bodies and in our spirits. I will close with reading Romans chapter 14, verse 8. Turn with me to Romans chapter 14, verse 8, and we shall finish with this. And it's talking about God as a divine ownership of the souls of men. Romans chapter 14, verse 8. "For whether we live unto the Lord, or whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's." We are His. We are His. Bought with a price. Next time we want to do something and we're not quite sure about what we need to do, talk to God and ask Him, "Is this what I need to do for you? Is this something that will glorify you? Because Father in heaven, I'm not mine. I belong to you." Let us pray.